idea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises, hundreds of actors out of sight.
Pantaloons and tunics, courtesans and eunuchs.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, April 6th, and you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG. I'm Eric, your host, and it's a fabulous Saturday because we're spending this time together. I say it all the time. This is my favorite part of the week, the time I get to spend with all of you out there in WZBG land talking about theater and just generally trying to increase the positivity, because that's always the goal, right? That's one of the things theater sets out to do, is make the world a better place. And hopefully we do that. In some small way, hopefully we do that. So today I am again solo in the studio, but I've got a really interesting show lined up for you, or at least I think it's really interesting, and that means hopefully you think it's really interesting. Today actually marks the anniversary of the very first Tony Awards. That's right. The very first ever Tony Awards were held on April 6th back in 1947, so that's about 77 years ago. Since that time, the Tony Awards have been relocated within the calendar year. They now fall on, I believe it's the second Sunday in June. But originally it was April 6, 1947. It was a non-televised event. It was the American Theater Wing hosting an award ceremony for the best that Broadway theater had to offer. And the award got its name from a distinguished member of the theater community. Now, the official name is the Antoinette Perry Award for Excellence in Broadway Theater, named for Antoinette Perry, who was an actress, a director, a producer, and co-founded the American Theater Wing. And the nickname, the Tony Award, comes from the fact that Antoinette Perry was nicknamed Tony. And Brock Pemberton, who was the head of the American Theater Wing, proposed to develop an award in her honor. And that it would be called, he just called it the Tony because he knew Antoinette Perry. He called it a Tony. The name stuck. And originally they were often referred to as the Perry Awards, but now, of course, we know them as the Tonys. So there you go. That's how they came about. The first ceremony was held, like I said, April 6, 1947, at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City. It was not televised, and it was a very sort of sedate experience. And the original awards included things like scrolls, cigarette lighters, compacts, bracelets made of 14-karat gold for the ladies, money clips for the men. So it was a very different world than what we see now. Since 1967, the Tony Awards have been broadcast on television here in the United States, and now they're a big to-do. You know, they pick a theater in New York, and they sell it out, and they have these big production numbers, and it's this over-the-top thing in all the best ways. All the best ways. It's really the only award show that I actually pay attention to anymore, because I love theater. I wish I could see more professional theater, and the Tony Awards gives me a chance to get a glimpse of some of what's going on out there in the larger theater world. So, at any rate, I'm rambling. Because this is the anniversary, the very first ever Tony Awards, what I thought we'd do today is we could look at some of the biggest upsets in Tony history. You know, it's always, with any award, people are always trying to predict, oh, who's going to get it, who's going to get it? And the Tony Awards are no different. And there have been many instances over the years where the odds-on favorite got, or I should say, didn't win, and a dark horse candidate took the award seemingly at the last possible second. So today we're going to take a look at some of the shows and performers who very unexpectedly won some sort of Tony Award. And we're going to kick things off with the musical Nine. In 1982, Nine won the Tony Award for Best Musical. And Nine is a phenomenal show. It's interesting. It's captivating. It offers a lot to be appreciated. But in 1982, Nine was up against a powerhouse production, a show that has been revived on Broadway, a show that's been turned into a movie, a show that has some music in it that has become iconic in American culture. I'm talking about Dreamgirls. The original Broadway production of Dreamgirls was also running in 1982, and it was expected to be the runaway victor at the Tonys, to take all the Tonys, just sweep everything, and, you know, just dominate. And then when it came to Best Musical, Nine took home the award rather than Dreamgirls, and people were shocked. People were absolutely shocked. But, you know, like I said, Nine is a tremendous story. It was staged beautifully. It had some amazing performances, which is how it ended up, I don't want to say stealing the award, but how it ended up winning that award over Dreamgirls back in 1982. So here from the original Broadway cast recording of Nine, we have the cast featuring Raul Julia, the late great Raul Julia, with Guido's Song.
I would like to be here. I would like to be there. I would like to be everywhere at once. I know that's a contradiction in terms, and it's a problem, especially when my body's clearing 40 as my mind is nearing 10. I can hardly stay up, and I can't get to sleep, and I don't want to wake tomorrow morning at the bottom of some heap. But why take it so seriously? After all, there's nothing at stake here, only me. I want to be young, and I want to be old. I would like to be wise before my time, and yet be foolish and brash and bold. I would like the universe to get down on its knees and say, Guido, whatever you please, it's okay, even if it's impossible, we'll arrange it. That's all that I want. I am lusting for more. Should I settle for less?
I ask you, what's a good thing for, if not for taking it to excess?
One limitation I dearly regret. There's only one of me I've ever met. I would like to have another me to travel along with myself. I would even like to be able to sing a duet with myself. I would like to be here, sing along with myself in a song, to be there, walking down a lane now, everywhere, 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 that's a contradiction in terms. I want to be here with counter, here, melody in the hair, top of the morning to you, Guido, 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 me, me. I want to be Bruce! It is sad. I would like to be Christ, Mohammed, Buddha, but not have to believe in God, and you know I mean it with all of my heart. It's the end if something important doesn't start. I want to be young, but I have to be old. What I want is a tale of sound and fury that some idiot went and told. I would like the universe to get down on its knees and say, Guido, whatever you please, it's okay, even if it's ridiculous, we'll arrange.
That's all that I want.
That was Raul Julia in the original Broadway cast of Nine with Guido's Song here on Backstage on WZBG. And again, Nine is one of the sort of greatest upsets in Tony Awards history. A fabulous show. I'm not taking anything away from the show at all, but people thought the Dreamgirls was just going to steamroll, and there's Nine just kind of doing its thing and getting its credit for doing it. Up next, we're going to jump over, we're going to be jumping around a lot in terms of time here this morning, so, you know, bear with me. My CDO is telling me I should be going in chronological order, but that's not how I set this up. So up next, we've got another show that won unexpectedly at the Tonys for Best Revival in 2012. Porgy and Bess. The Gershwins, Porgy and Bess, won Best Revival back in 2012. And an amazing show. You had Norm Lewis. You had Audra McDonald. You had David Alan Greer giving next-level performances who were just leaving it all on the stage. And Porgy and Bess has some heavy stuff that goes on in it. But there's also light moments and comedy and just wonderful things that happen. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why wouldn't that have won? Well, the Best Revival category in 2012 was stacked. It was absolutely stacked. You had a revival of Stephen Sondheim's Follies, which didn't get its due justice back when it first opened on Broadway back in the day. And so people thought, well, this is going to be, you know, they're making good on what they should have done once upon a time back in, like, 1972. And we're going to come back to Follies later on, by the way. But it was up against Follies. It was up against a revival of Evita featuring Michael Cerveris and Ricky Martin and, oh, the actress's name is escaping me. I apologize. I'll have to double-check that. But that was a tremendous production, very well received. And it was up against a revival of Jesus Christ Superstar, which is always a critical darling. And here's the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, which was based on an opera. People are like, Porgy and Bess was great, but there's no way it's going to... And yet it did. It became the Best Revival winner in 2012 on the strength of the performances of people like David Alan Greer and Audra McDonald and Norm Lewis. So here from that 2012 revival of Porgy and Bess is Norm Lewis, along with the cast, singing I Got Plenty of Nothing.
Good morning.
Good morning, Porgy.
Oh, you looking better than good, Porgy.
Look at that smile you got.
What you been up to?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got no car, I got no mule, I got no misery. The folks with plenty of plenty got a lock on the door, afraid somebody's going to rob them while he's out making more. What for? I got no lock on my door, that's no way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor.
You ain't got no rug.
That's okay with me, cause the things that I prize, like the stars and the skies, all are free. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my song, got him the whole day long. Got my girl.
Hey, Porg is looking like a new man.
That's what love will do for you.
He's lucky.
Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got the sun, I got the moon, I got the deep blue sea. The folks with plenty of plenty got to pray all the day. It seems with plenty you sure gotta worry how to keep the devil away.
Away.
I ain't afraid about hell till that time arrives. Never worry long as I'm well. Never one to strive to be good, to be bad. What the hell? I'm glad I'm alive. Oh, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my song, got him the whole day long. No use complaining, got my gal.
The That was Norm Lewis in the revival cast of Porgy and Bess with I Got Plenty of Nothing here on Backstage on WZBG. And because today is the 77th anniversary of the very first Tony Awards, we're taking a look at some of the biggest upsets in Tony Award history. And from 2012, we're going to jump back to 1991. 1991 was a great year for Broadway theater. I mean, most years are pretty great years for Broadway theater, I gotta say. But 1991 was a great year for Broadway theater. Miss Saigon, Once on This Island, and The Secret Garden were all in their first ever runs on Broadway. Tremendous shows, phenomenal scores, really powerful stuff. And they were all thought to be the front runners in some way, shape, or form for Best Musical and Best Score. And none of them won. And what did win was a show that nobody really expected. And again, that's kind of the theme here today. But it's a show that was almost dated when it debuted. I'm talking about the Will Rogers Follies. It won Best Musical and Best Score back in 1991. And it told the story, somewhat romanticized, of Will Rogers, who was an actor and a commentator, and at one point the most heard, if you will, man in the United States. And it just snuck up on everybody. Nobody expected the Will Rogers Follies to actually take those kinds of awards, because those are huge awards. And Secret Garden and Once on This Island and Miss Saigon were all thought to be much stronger options than the Will Rogers Follies. But the Will Rogers Follies just kind of snuck up on people and walked home with the awards. So here from the original production, the original Broadway cast of the Will Rogers Follies, we have Keith Carradine and the cast singing, what did I pick? Oh yes, singing the song, Give a Man Enough Rope.
As a kid I tied some knots, I learned to make a loop, spun it horizontal to the ground. Practiced lassoing the fence posts and most anything I found. I even roped my sisters if they dared to come around. This pastime was my solitary skill. And people asked, what will become of Will? I told them, give a man enough rope, give a man enough rope, and he can hang himself or not. That is the choice that he has got. He could wind up hanging down from a tree, or he could spin himself a life. That's what happened to me. Give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope.
You hand two guys a pile of dough, one spends it fast,
one saves it slow.
You make a choice,
you make a choice,
up to you what you do,
up to you what you do.
This act ain't much, but through it I've met kings and queens and I got to meet you. Everybody spins with a different twist. Some use elbow grease, some just flick the wrist. If you want to aim for a great big goal,
go for broke, just let her go.
Never let him see that there's effort there. You may sweat inside, but be debonair. If you go for tears or you go for jokes, shrug it off, it's nothing, folks. Give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope,
give a man enough rope.
It's good to set your sights up high, but don't expect pie in the sky. A guy might rush,
a guy might rush,
for that old pot of gold,
for that old pot of gold.
He might not reach the rainbow's end, because my friend, the world is round, or so we are told.
A guy could choose to run a bank.
A guy could choose to run a bank.
Another lives to till the soil.
Another lives to till the soil.
Or practice law or violin.
Or practice law or violin. Or maybe sell banana oil.
Banana oil.
One builds a barn, one writes a song.
One builds a barn, one writes a song.
A ditch, one teaches school.
One leaves a ditch, one teaches school.
But from the day I came along, I've always all tangled in the figure eights he tries to spin. But I've had luck, and my rope made me free. I spun my fancy figures, wrote my columns, made my speeches, loved my horses, loved my family, spun a lovely life. That's what happened to me.
There you go, Keith Carradine and the original Broadway cast of the Will Rogers Follies with Give a Man Enough Rope here on Backstage on WZBG. And this morning we're touring through Broadway shows that were very unexpected Tony winners. Not because they weren't good on their own, but because the competition seemed to be that strong that they weren't the favorites. They didn't have the inside track, if you will. And in 2004, that was exceptionally true for the winner of Best Musical. 2004, if you know your theater history, saw the Broadway debut of Wicked, which is now celebrating its 20th year on Broadway. In fact, my lovely and talented girlfriend Lynn and I just saw Wicked on Broadway a couple of months ago. It was her first time seeing the show ever, actually. And my second time seeing it, and it was just as good as I remembered. It's a fabulous show, so much great content, the costumes, the set pieces, the choreography, the staging, the performances, it all comes together, and it is this massive hit for a reason. There is a reason it is still going strong on Broadway 20 years after it has opened. And everybody thought that Wicked was going to be the show. It was going to be Wicked, and that was going to be it, and Wicked was going to dominate. Maybe not with Best Actress, because the Tonys decided that both Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel were eligible for Best Actress, and people figured, okay, they're going to split the vote, and someone else is going to kind of come in and win the award, and that's what ended up happening. But they said, Best Musical, it's going to be Wicked. There's no chance that it's not Wicked. It wasn't Wicked. Best Musical 2004 was not Wicked. In fact, it was a musical that was much smaller in scale, that was rather irreverent, that was, what's the word I'm looking for? Not provocative necessarily, but certainly that offended the delicate sensibilities of your traditional Broadway audience. I'm talking about Avenue Q. Yes, Avenue Q beat Wicked to take away the Best Musical Award in 2004. And Avenue Q is a tremendous show. It's got interesting social commentary that goes on, some great music, some interesting conceits in it. You know, it's sort of a Sesame Street gone awry, if you will. And it was the little show that could. It took home the Best Musical Award back in 2004. So here from the original Broadway cast of Avenue Q, we have John Tartaglia and the cast singing the song Purpose.
Purpose, it's that little flame that lights a fire under your ass. Purpose, it keeps you going strong like a car with a full tank of gas. Everyone else has a purpose, so what's mine? Huh. Oh, look, here's a penny. It's from the year I was born. It's a sign. Ha! Ba-ba-ba-ba, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. I don't know how I know, but I'm gonna find my purpose. I don't know where I'm gonna look, but I'm gonna find my purpose. Gotta find out, don't wanna wait. Sure that my life will be great. Gotta find my purpose before it's too late.
He's gonna find his purpose.
Whoa, whoa, I'm gonna find my purpose.
He's gonna find
Yeah. I'm gonna find my purpose. Could be far, could be near, could take a week, a month, a year.
Job,
or smoking grass, maybe at a pottery class. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. I'm gonna find my purpose, yeah.
and life is a mystery. Gotta find my purpose. Gotta find me.
That was Purpose from the original Broadway cast recording of Avenue Q, the little show that could, the show that beat out Wicked for Best Musical in 2004. And you're listening to Backstage here on WZBG, and it's 9:30, so we're going to have to pause for a quick word, and then we will come back and we will talk about the buzz.
Volunteering is critical to strengthening communities, but it's on the decline, which means now is the time to jump in. You can make a difference every day. It just takes that first step to get involved. Start in your own neighborhood with an organization or cause that's important to you. It's easy to join the movement. Find volunteer opportunities and get actionable steps to drive real and sustained change when you visit pointsoflight.org today.
All right, let's look at the theater world, shall we? Let's find out what's going on. So, performances, Goshen Players have announced their upcoming production of 9 to 5. It's going to be running April 27th through May 12th over at the old Goshen Town Hall. You can go to goshenplayers.org to find out more or to purchase tickets. Landmark Community Theater has announced their production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That's going to be running April 20th through May 5th here on Backstage. Not here on Backstage, over at the Thomason Opera House. They will be my guests next week on Backstage, though. That's where my mind was going. So you can tune in next week to find out more. You can also go to landmarkcommunitytheater.org. They have tickets available there or more information on the show. Phoenix Stage Company has a couple of things going on. This weekend, they're running the Bright Young Things Cabaret Act Miscast. That's happening tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 3. And then their next major production is going to be Sweet Surrender, which is opening May 4th and running through May 18th. You can go to phoenixstagecompany.org for more on those, or you can purchase tickets right there. TheaterWorks New Milford is in the middle of its run of Wait Until Dark. It's going on now through April 14th. Check out theaterworks.us to get tickets or find out more. And the Warner Theater's next production will be School of Rock. That'll be happening August 3rd, running through August 11th. For tickets and information, you should go to warnertheater.org. And that is the buzz for this morning here on Backstage. We're going to pause for another quick word, and then we will be back with more surprise Tony winners.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, no, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her. And we're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
And we're back here on Backstage. And this morning we are talking about shocking Tony Award upsets when it seemed like there was a clear-cut front-runner for the award and another show came in and threw its quality and the performances and so on and so forth, it managed to win that Tony Award. And up next, we're jumping into 2007. In 2007, the Best Actor category was pegged as Raul Esparza's category to win. Everybody loved his performance as Bobby in Company and thought that he had it in the bag. But he didn't. It ended up going to an actor who is probably most well-known for his role on a long-running television sitcom than anything else. He had already been on Broadway in the company of Spamalot, which was his first big Broadway musical, although he had done plays and whatnot before that. And he was in this show that was a very sort of self-aware look at the world of theater and did well enough, but wasn't considered a runaway hit or runaway success. But he ended up winning the award. I'm talking about David Hyde Pierce, who won Best Actor for Curtains in 2007. It was considered a massive upset because Raul Esparza's performance as Bobby was widely regarded as one of the best performances of that role, full stop. And David Hyde Pierce, who was best known for working on the TV sitcom Frasier as the brother of the title character, was playing a Boston detective who had dreams of the theater world and got sucked into this murder investigation at a theater. And there was something about it that just appealed to the Tony voters, and David Hyde Pierce walked away with Best Actor in 2007. So here from that original Broadway cast recording of Curtains, we have David Hyde Pierce with Coffee Shop Nights.
Detectives have no opening night, Miss Harris. We make our entrance after the curtain has fallen on someone else's life.
It isn't wrong to be married to one's work, is it?
No. No, not at all. Sometimes it's no honeymoon. I love my job. I really do. And if I say so myself, I'm good at it too. I catch the bad guys, well, most of the time. So it's a good life, a perfectly good life. Not exactly sublime. When I've finished my work and I crawl into bed, I reflect as I turn out the lights that the day that's to come and the week that's ahead will be lunch counter mornings and coffee shop nights. Lunch counter mornings and coffee shop nights.
Well, it's reassuring to have such a dependable schedule, like matinees every Wednesday.
Or brisket and broad beans each Thursday.
With your friends.
Well, I like my pals. The guys on the force. We're not very social. They're all married, of course. Sometimes we go bowling or have a few beers. So it's a fine life. A perfectly fine life. I'd give it to cheers. 'Cause sometimes I think at the end of the day, when I've read the last burglar his rights, that the life that I lead is a little bit gray, with its lunch counter mornings and coffee shop nights. Lunch counter mornings and coffee shop nights.
But your acting roles, well, don't they make for a change?
Oh, Miss Harris, each year from May 23rd to the 12th of June, when I turn my life over to the Swallow Street Players, that's more than a vacation for me. That's an overture of hope. It's the curtain rising on the greatest joy of my life. But the rest of the year, the life that I lead, that's a little bit gray. There are plenty of low days and not many heights. Mostly lunch counter mornings and coffee shop nights. I don't mean to seem forward, but might I walk you home?
Oh, I'd be delighted, but you said we're not allowed to leave.
Damn.
David Hyde Pierce with Coffee Shop Nights from Curtains, the original Broadway cast recording, and his Tony Award-winning turn as the Boston police detective. We're now going to jump into 2013. This may not have been quite as big of an upset as some of the others we've talked about, but it was an upset. The best musical category that year was thought to be Matilda's. Matilda had debuted on Broadway. It was wildly popular. It was based on a classic children's book that people enjoyed. It had a lot of cultural cachet behind it. But it didn't win. That particular award in 2013 went to Kinky Boots, which, I don't know, again, I'm not taking anything away from the winners. The winners are tremendous shows in their own rights. And Kinky Boots, I happen to really enjoy. So go figure. It just, for some reason, everybody thought Matilda was going to be the one to beat. It was a British import. Broadway seemed to like British imports. Big spectacle. It's got kids. It's, you know. But Kinky Boots, something resonated, and it worked. And, you know, Billy Porter turning in the performance that he turned in probably didn't hurt, gotta say. So here from the original Broadway cast of Matilda, we have, excuse me, not Matilda. From Kinky Boots, we have Everybody Say Yeah.
You were always telling me what I need to be, but you never really had enough faith in me. Dad, you gave up the factory. Well, this time I'm gonna take that chance. Future. No longer are we making shoes, we are making 2.5 feet of irresistible tubular sex. So let's do it!
I punch the holes,
I sew the seams, and I pull the leather tight.
I put the steel inside the heel.
Let me hear you say yeah, yeah.
is Everybody Say Yeah from the original Broadway cast recording of Kinky Boots, the best musical winner of 2013 here on Backstage on WZBG. And it's 9:45, so we should talk about the weather. According to the WZBG Weather Center, today is going to be partly to mostly cloudy, blustery and cool, with a chance for a few scattered showers with highs in the mid-40s. Tonight will be partly cloudy to mostly clear with a low of around 30. Sunday, tomorrow, we will see partly sunny with highs between 45 and 50. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy to clear with lows in the 30s. Monday, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid-60s. And then Tuesday, mostly sunny, warm and pleasant with highs in the 60s again. It's currently about 38 degrees at our WZBG studios here in Litchfield. And, yeah, you know, we're in that awkward time where it's kind of spring, but kind of not. So, you know, just got to make it work, I guess. At any rate, keeping up with our theme this morning of unexpected Tony winners, or upset Tony winners, if you will, we have a show that opened in 1966 and won Best Score that year over such Broadway favorites as Sweet Charity and Mame. I'm talking about The Man of La Mancha, which has, it's on its own, of course, obviously, a beautiful score. But Sweet Charity and Mame were bigger, were thought to be, thought to offer more in terms of music, and thus the likely winners of that award. And Man of La Mancha kind of snuck in and stole it. So here from the new Broadway cast recording of Man of La Mancha, we have Brian Stokes Mitchell with, I think, one of the best versions of this particular song. Here is The Impossible Dream.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my
better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars.
Brian Stokes Mitchell from the new Broadway cast recording of Man of La Mancha and The Impossible Dream. Such a fabulous song, such a tremendous performance. And 1966, best score. Nobody thought they'd do it, but they did it. We're going to jump back into the modern era of 2003 and the Best Actress category. At the time, Bernadette Peters was starring on Broadway in a revival of Gypsy, and she was just overwhelming with her talent, with what she brought to the role, and she lost the category. It went to Marissa Janet Winokur, who made her Broadway debut in a little show called Hairspray as Tracy Turnblad. And, dethroning Bernadette Peters. No small feat. So here is Marissa Janet Winokur and the cast of Hairspray with You Can't Stop the Beat.
Since it's all worth
You Can't Stop the Beat from the original Broadway cast recording of Hairspray here on Backstage on WZBG, and we're almost out of time, so I just want to remind everybody that next week I will have representatives from Landmark Community Theater's production of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, so make sure you tune in for that. And in the meantime, I'm going to leave you with one more unexpected Tony winner. In 2017, everybody thought the best musical was going to come down to Dear Evan Hansen or Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of... Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of... I forget the year now, unfortunately, but it didn't... Neither of those won. What won was a one-act musical that focused on September 11th. And... Come From Away took the award. Come From Away is a phenomenal show. I've seen it a couple of times on Broadway. It's absolutely amazing. I look forward to the day when community theaters have the option of doing it, because I will definitely be at auditions for that. You laugh, you cry, you've experienced joy and sorrow and everything in between. It's an amazing show. So to round us out today, here's a little bit from Come From Away, the original Broadway cast recording. I hope you all have a fabulous week.
On the northeast tip of North America, on an island called Newfoundland, there's an airport. It used to be one of the biggest airports in the world, and next to it is a town called Gander.
Welcome to the rack if you come from away. Huh? You probably understand about a half of what we say. Yeah. They say no man's an island, but an island makes a man.
Especially when one comes from one like Newfoundland. Welcome to the rack.
That morning, I'm in the classroom. It's our first day back, and the school buses are on strike, so I'm covering for Annette, who's running late.
Sorry, Beulah. How's the kids?
Not exactly thrilled to be inside on such a gorgeous day, so I told them we'd only have a half day this morning, and they were quite pleased, until I told them we'd have the other half in the afternoon.
Welcome to the wildest weather that you've ever heard of,
where everyone is nicer, but it's never nice above.
Welcome to the farthest place you'll get from Disneyland.
Fish and chips and shipwrecks.
This is Newfoundland. Welcome to the rock. An islander, I am an islander. I am an islander. I am an islander.
That morning,
you're listening to FM 97.3 WZBG, Litchfield, Torrington.